Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through the promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband." Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. Pray with me. Lord, this is one of Paul's most difficult teachings in the New Testament, one that I'm sure caused quite a stir when he taught it to the churches in Galatia. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us over the next couple of Sundays, because we will not finish this passage today, but I pray that you would help us to digest what it is you have to say to us through this today, and then complete it two Sundays from now. Dear Lord, there is a deep theological significance in what Paul is teaching us here. And although it may seem offensive to us, the offense serves a purpose, and it is to make us take a deep, hard, long look at who our spiritual mother is. Is our spiritual mother Hagar, or is our spiritual mother Sarah? In your precious name we pray, amen. Paul will now refer again to Genesis, brothers and sisters, and the patriarchal narrative to make his case against the false teachers we have come to know as Judaizers. The Judaizers were attempting to influence these new converts in the Galatian churches to assimilate and adopt works of the law into their Christian beliefs of salvation by faith alone through Christ alone. That is the entire theme of the book of Galatians. That is what we have been studying since I've been here, is this entire book, which we only have about two chapters left. And I don't know about you, but it's been very meaningful to me. If you can sit through all this preaching and still be a legalizer, bless your heart. I just don't see how you can do it, because Paul attacks it so deeply and so thoroughly so many times. Paul calls this potential spiritual regression, what word does he use, brothers and sisters? Slavery. He calls it slavery, as he tries his best to show these new believers that their salvation is a newfound spiritual freedom whose source is the law of Christ and not works of the Old Testament law. There was a new age that had begun with Christ, and the Judaizers were confusing the new believers by tempting them to realize the fullness of salvation by attacking Paul's authority and by trying to get them to conform to the religious system known as Judaism, which involved pushing them to be circumcised and adhere to all the tenets of Judaism found in the Old Testament. And the question that begs us this morning is, how does this have any relevance to us in the 21st century? Amen? It's a fair question, isn't it? Okay. Well, when we are born with the nature of Adam, born under the curse of God, and we are in bondage to what Paul has says numerous times, the elemental spirits and the vain philosophies that we learn from the world. And as we are exposed to the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit works in tandem with the Word of God to begin to convict our spirit, hopefully to the point of belief and salvation. And this is all in God's timing and not our own. And this is what had happened to many of the Galatians as they responded to the gospel and were freed from the enslaving elemental spirits. And this is what happens to us when we do the same. Paul calls this life that we live prior to the gospel being under sin or under the bondage of the law. And when we hear the gospel and the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and we believe in Jesus Christ, we are born again by the Spirit of God and become what he says in Corinthians, a new creation in Jesus Christ. Now we are no longer slaves in bondage to the law. We are now slaves of Christ. You like that? I like that. It's Paul's words. Slaves of righteousness. So in our passage for the next couple of Sundays, Paul will return again to the Old Testament and refer to the story of the life of Abraham. In particular, this time to the two sons that Abraham had. The firstborn son by Hagar and the secondborn son, Isaac, by Sarah. We can hear the Judaizer, listen to these words, I can't remember who the scholar was, but listen to these words as he posits or he speculates what the Judaizer's argument would have been to the Galatians. Listen to what he says. The true descendants of Abraham are Jews who inhabit Jerusalem. Here are the true people of God, and it will follow that Jerusalem is the authoritative center of the renewed people of God, now called the church. Those who are not prepared to attach themselves to this community by the approved means of circumcision and adherence to the law must be cast out. They cannot hope to inherit the promises made to Abraham and his seed. Boy, does that not sound like a convincing argument these men were giving these new believers in Galatia? So Paul recognizes that this is a convincing argument, and he uses their own argument against them by pointing out that there were, in fact, sons of Abraham who were not children of the promise. Tell me, you who desire to be under law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through the promise. And Paul's point here is that Scripture is completely clear about spiritual slavery and spiritual freedom. Completely clear. From the foundational book of Genesis, as I've told you 100 times, that is under attack in our culture as not being true, as not being the inerrant, sufficient Word of God, Paul is saying that from the foundational book of Genesis, Scripture is clear about spiritual slavery and freedom. So what is Paul talking about here when he goes back? And that's where we're going to go in just a couple of minutes. We're going to go back to Genesis. We would be fools not to, amen? Amen? If Paul saw it necessary in his teaching and in his defense against these false teachers in his time, and he goes back to Genesis, would it not be wise for us in our time to also go back to Genesis and study what he saw there that caused him to bring this argument before the Judaizers? I think so. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, he says this, because he's already gone there before. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? In verse 6, Paul introduces Abraham for the first time. He says, just as Abraham believes God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So open your Bible to Genesis chapter 15. And we are going to do something that you probably don't hear very often if you're visiting here from other churches. We are actually going to read lots of Scripture today. You're not going to get a 1-2-3 way to a better life today. You're going to get the Word of God out of Genesis chapter 15. And I will walk you through this. The reason why you don't have notes, you will receive notes Sunday after next on this entire passage where it will be broken apart for you in detail. So here's where he goes first. Why are we here, Pastor? Why have you taken us? We're all the way in Galatians. Why have you brought us all the way back to Genesis chapter 15? Because Paul comes all the way back to Genesis 15. Because his argument is of faith, not of works. In the first place we see that in the scripture, crystal clear, is the covenant with Abraham in chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus, ? And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And this very next verse that Paul used in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, is now here in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And it says, And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Now, jump to chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, Behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. Do y'all see the flag of irresponsibility popping up in the scriptures today, brothers and sisters? Please say amen, you do. This was wrong. This was a big mistake. Verse 4, And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. I would say that the unity of Abraham's household just took a nosedive, amen? And in fact, Israeli-Arab relations today, here's your cause right here, brothers and sisters. There it is, right there. You want to know why it's going on? There's the reason right here. Argue with me if you will. Search the history books if you want. Yes, you can point to other issues that have happened, but the key episode is biblical. The key episode is disobedience to God and impatience on man's part to God. May the Lord judge between you and me. But Abram said to Sarah, Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please. Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, and the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, Return to your mistress and submit to her. The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, Listen very carefully to this. What you're seeing today is prophesied right here in the scriptures. Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name, everyone together, Ishmael. Because the Lord has listened to your affliction, he shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen. Do you see that today? Yes, you do. So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are a God of seeing, For she said, truly here I have seen him who looks after me. Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bore Abram a son. And Abram called the name of his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abraham. Now, look what in your Bible, I've got an English Standard Version, so I've got headings. That's one of the reasons why I love this Bible, because it's got headings above each chapter to give you like the theme of the next chapter. What does the theme of your next chapter say? Covenant of what? What's the primary thing they're fighting over in Galatia? Comes all the way back to Genesis chapter 17. Do you see that? Let's go to Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. We're going to skip around a little bit because we don't have time to read every bit of this stuff. And God said to Abraham, this is about the promised birth of Isaac. As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? That's a fair question, don't you think? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will, listen very carefully, but I will establish my what? Covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. When he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all those born in his house or bought with his money, every male among them of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very day Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised. And all the men of his house, those born in the house and those bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves and after that you may pass on since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, she'll have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Sarah, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, no, but you did laugh. And so that's Isaac's birth foretold. Now we're going to jump over the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and the story of Abraham and Abimelech, and we're going to go to Genesis chapter 21. And here's the promise fulfilled. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, who Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. So she said to Abraham, cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac. And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. Could you imagine? 14 years with your firstborn son? And then being told to cast him out by your wife? But God said to Abraham, be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And when the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, let me not look on the death of the child. And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy. And hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Now turn back to Galatians again. So when Paul began to teach that, and he taught this allegory here in just a moment, the Judaizers would have gone back and they would have thought about the story of Ishmael and Isaac. But what's interesting is, very interesting, is that the Judaizers' argument would have been, was that the Gentiles were actually Ishmael. And then when they came to Christ, if they did not also have circumcision and become Jewish, they would remain Ishmael. But what's interesting is, what's Paul's argument? They're not Ishmael, you're Ishmael. Because you are seeking salvation in circumcision and in works of law and not through Christ Jesus. Folks, we have got to be very careful who we listen to and what we believe when it comes to spiritual matters. These were new believers, and these Judaizers, they had the look, they had the tongue, they had the authority of the home church, so they thought, or so they boasted. And they came into this church and they took all those new believers' minds and they twisted them just a little bit, almost to the point to where Paul said, you're bewitched, you're foolish, you're about to fall away from the faith. Let's read it one more time. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh. Why, brothers and sisters? Why was he born according to the flesh? Because the human beings, because Abraham and Sarah took it into their own hands. God had made a promise to them. They doubted him. So they took it into their own hands. And to this day, there is bloodshed on earth because of it. While the son of the free woman was born through the promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from, and this is what would have blown the Judaizer's mind. When he started talking like, they wouldn't have disagreed with what he said so far. But when they got right here, this is when they probably lost it. Now, this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Mount Sinai, but wait, that's where Moses got the law. We were just delivered from slavery from Egypt when we went to Mount Sinai. Paul, are you nuts? What are you talking about, is what they would have thought. One is from Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children, slavery to Judaism, slavery to the law. Systematic theology of the Jews had blinded them to the reality of who Jesus Christ was. That's what had happened. When he came, he preached a gospel that was foreign to their ears because they wanted it so they wanted the oppression of the Romans thrown off of Israel so bad. They wanted their national identity of Israel back so bad that they couldn't hear Christ's message of love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. They couldn't hear it. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, O barren one, Sarah, who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one, Sarah, will be more than those of the one who has a husband. The Gentile church will one day in population supersede the Jews. You think that didn't strike anger in those Judaizers' hearts? Now you brothers like Isaac are children of promise, but just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so also it is now. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So brothers, we are not children of the slave, but children of the free woman. Now, what does that mean for today? What it means is that among our number, unfortunately and regrettably, there are sons of Ishmael. There are sons of Ishmael. And that's why the sign out front of the church, outside the front of the church says, who is your mother? Is your spiritual mother Hagar? Born of the flesh, living of the flesh, born of natural birth, not born of the spirit? Or is your mother Sarah, the woman of promise, the woman of God's grace, children from Isaac? Who are you? Who is your mother? Are you a son of a slave? Legalism? Acts of works. I've got to do this to merit my way with God. The only way for me to please God is to do a whole bunch of works. Or are you the son of the promise? My life is bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. My faith is in Him. And I work and I serve out of love for Him, not to gain love from Him. And however you operate your life will determine which one of those you are. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so indebted to you for this word, for this book.